A controversial U.S. travel ban blocking visitors from six Middle Eastern and African nations for the next 90 days going into effect Thursday evening. The cable defining the government's position that this means close family, but limiting that classification to parents, spouses, children, and siblings. Many are excluded. Grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, in-laws, and fiancés. The order also bars refugees from entering the U.S. from 120 days. But similar waivers are available for those who can prove a bona fide relationship.
At the overall indexes, yes, we're down, and yes, it's on higher volume, but not as broad of a sell-off as we had seen earlier in this session. So stocks closing off their lows here. The VIX has increased by quite a bit. It is up to a whopping almost 12. The financials all basically got a green light from the Federal Reserve to go ahead and start raising their dividend and announcing share buybacks. Even Capital One, which passed but with conditions, part of the good news story when it comes to banks.
Rupert Murdoch's empire doesn't look like it will be expanding just yet. The British government ruling on Thursday that the billionaire media magnate's bid to take over Sky needs further examination. His 21st Century Fox has offered $14.8 billion for the 61% of Sky it does not already own. But Britain's media minister Karen Bradley told Parliament on Thursday that regulators raised concerns the takeover could give the Australian-born businessman's family trust too much control over the British media.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's June 30th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for our Friday edition of the show. And to close out the week before the big holiday weekend, lots to talk about in this hour of the show. We'll have Paul Nolte momentarily from Kingsview. I'll go over our portfolios a little bit. And then summertime is here. That's mosquito season. We will talk a little bit about mosquitoes in the last half hour of the show. You might want to put on some DEET as we get ready for that discussion. But we'll have a good discussion about mosquitoes, what you need to do to control your mosquito population this fall. But first, let's check the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing toward a positive open later on Wall Street. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up a little bit as well around the globe this morning. Markets are generally lower in Asia, with the Nikkei off almost a full percent this morning, 186 points, with the Hang Seng right behind, down nearly 200. That's good for almost a percent as well. In Europe, markets are generally higher, with the DAX and CAC higher, and the FTSE just a little bit lower this morning. Oil trading at $45.28 a barrel, which is up almost a percent. Some stories we're watching as we go into the morning hours here. Countering the backlash against free trade by President Trump, Japan and the European Union are rushing to finalize an agreement on easing barriers between their economies. The two sides hope to have a deal before the group of 20 G20 industrial nations meet next week in Germany. Local reports say a point of disagreement is Japan's up to 40% tariffs on imported cheese. Japan reports, by the way, that factory output rose in May from a year earlier, while unemployment also edged higher in that economy. Here in the United States, the Trump administration hardening its approach to China, blacklisting a small Chinese bank over dealings with North Korea, while approving more than $1 billion in military sales to Taiwan. And the investigation is still ongoing into the latest cyber attack. The government of Ukraine has now asked the FBI and other U.S. Counter-terrorism and counter-cyber espionage groups to join their investigation of the ransomware attack that appears to have started in Ukraine this week. Well, excuse me, it's Friday. I was going to sneeze there, Paul. Paul Nolte is here in the studio with us, as he is every Friday, from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the halfway post.
It is. Hard to believe, isn't it, that we're already there?
It is. It's been a great first half of the year for the financial markets, this last week notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. But it's good to be in the halfway area, and we get into the summer months.
Is what happened this week, sort of an indication of what might be to come in the next quarter?
It could. You know, certainly the volatility has picked up, especially in the with the technology stocks, and I think really what we're seeing in the technology area is a little bit of a sell-off due to the run that they've had in the first half of the year. They have been by far and away the best performing sector of the market, and you've got some investors coming into the summer wanting to take some profits. A lot of those stocks are up 20, 30, some even 40%. That's a real good year for 6 months. So, and what happens too is selling begets selling. So you get into that circular argument of why are people selling? Well, because they're going down. They want to get out. Well, then, you know, why do they want to get out? Because the stocks are going down, and we're in that mode right now of, you know, where we were doing the opposite the first half of the year. This week, at least, we're taking some money off the table.
So even if it ended right now and stayed flat, the tech stocks is what I hear you saying, that it would be good for the whole year.
Oh, sure. They're still up in the low to mid-teens for the year, which is a really good year. And really, the S&P is still up 8% or so for the year. You know, again, for the first 6 months, that's a pretty good year. And an average year for the market is about where we're at right now.
Anything with, I know we had the banks, the Fed pronounced all the banks in good shape, and they started issuing dividends and buybacks and stuff. It was a good week for the banks, right?
Oh, it was a fabulous week for the banks. It's been actually a good 2 weeks for the banks. So that's been the huge rotation, is out of technology and into the banking sector. And certainly the thought from the Fed of raising interest rates, and we're hearing those rumblings around the world, generally a higher rate environment is good for the banks. So on top of a positive stress test, you're getting good news for the banks from the central banks around the world.
The part of the bank stress test is that, I guess this is the first time since 2008 that all of them have passed this test. What is that? What is the test about, and why is it important?
You know, it's a black box. So really, it's hard for a lot of people to figure out what it is. But in general, what the Fed is trying to ascertain is, if we go into another 2008, 2009 style recession or depression, are the banks well capitalized? Are we going to have banks going out of business? We're going to see issues like we saw in 2008 where some disappear entirely. So they're making sure that they're properly capitalized. How they go about doing it, what they're looking for, is really unknown to a lot of the bankers. So they were asking for a little bit more clarity and understanding of what the Fed's really looking for. So the Fed has backed off on the real stringent tests, because a lot of the banks have built their capital base dramatically over the last 4 or 5 years.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, technology shares slid Thursday, dragging down major U.S. stock indexes. The NASDAQ composite fell 90 points to 6144. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 167 points to close at 21287. The S&P 500 ended 21 points lower. Wall Street had little appetite for Blue Apron on the meal kit company's first full day on the stock market. Shares in the company, whose stock symbol is APRN, rose as much as 10% after the debut, but Blue Apron Thursday closed at $10, same as the initial public offering price. Security researchers say a cyber attack that caused economic damage around the world was apparently designed to create maximum mayhem in Russia's neighbor and adversary Ukraine. The motivation, say specialists, was pain, not profit. The Trump administration is hardening its approach to China, blacklisting a small Chinese bank over dealings with North Korea. Meanwhile, Washington has made more than $1 billion in military sales to Taiwan. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 521. Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, this past week was the Fed circuit. Lots of folks out talking, including Janet Yellen. And she had some words.
She did. And what was interesting, and really when you look at all of the Fed chatter about what they did and what they're looking for, they still believe that interest rates need to go higher still, and that the low inflation numbers that we've seen the last couple months are transitory, meaning that inflation will be picking up, wage growth will pick up, and that economic activity remains generally pretty robust, in their words. I'm struggling to find the same things that she's looking at. So we're not in agreement on that at all. I think the Fed should probably stop raising rates at this point. But we're starting to hear that chatter from everybody else. And I think really more the concern than raising interest rates is the fact that they're talking more about their balance sheet and trying to reduce the amount of holdings that they have in government bonds and such, which is going to push up interest rates, because they are a huge buyer of bonds on a regular basis. When that goes away, we should see rates come up. But one of the measures that we looked at is the Federal Reserve's stress index. It gets published by the Federal Reserve out of St. Louis. And actually, with the rate increases that we've seen, the stresses have come down in the economy. So I think that's one of the things that the Fed's looking at as a way to say, you know, it's monetary policy is really not tight yet, and we have room to raise rates further.
Yeah, the some of the economic things that we saw this past week, some of the stats, GDP was revised up. But inflation
revised down.
I'm sorry.
And industrial production was not that fabulous. New home sales and the home building a little disappointing. So again, when you take a look at the wide range of economic data, really over the last month and a half, it's been below expectations, fairly dramatically so here in the United States. And again, inflation being not a big deal in general. There's really, from an economic perspective, in our view at least, that the Fed should be staying on the sidelines.
The other thing, too, back to the discussion about banks and stress tests and the economy overall generally, Janet Yellen said she was a little concerned about, she warned against rolling back too many of these regulations and putting us back into a situation where we could have a repeat of 2008.
Yeah, it's
valid concern?
I don't think so. I mean, when you take a look at what the banks are doing right now and what they have on capital, they've changed their capital structure, as we talked about at the last segment. But one of the other things that's interesting to us is when you take a look at bank loan activity actually has come down. A lot of the banks are getting their most of their revenue from trading activity, so buying and selling bonds and stocks, et cetera. It's not coming from the general economy. They've kind of stepped back from that, again, where they can find money, and in a very low interest rate environment, it doesn't make sense for banks to make loans, especially when we're seeing a yield curve as flat as it is. It's hard for them to make money on the differential between their deposits and their loans.
What would be the next guidepost for us to look for? Jobs report, I guess, would be the next big major economic report, right?
We always get excited about the jobs report.
Always.
And then once we get past that Friday, then the Wall Street goes, okay, what's next? You know, what's the next shiny thing? So there, we'll look at wage growth. We do expect to see job growth of probably in the 150 range. And we're going to be looking at the inflation numbers as well and pulling those apart. Those are the couple things that the Fed's really going to be looking at, I think, going forward to justify a rate increase. The next likely time that they're going to do it is going to be September, and they'll have another opportunity again in December.
We have been hearing a lot of focus from Washington about manufacturing jobs or maybe bringing back coal jobs. But there are a couple of reports I saw this week about the number of retail jobs that we're losing and how that is just spiking. Should we, the economy, be concerned about this now? I mean, because there are, you know, potentially millions of jobs that could be lost this year in this area.
It is, you know, and it's one of the things that we talked about a while back about the Amazon effect and moving a lot of retail online. So if I go to Amazon and want to buy, you know, we talked about it earlier. My daughter can't find cocoa wheats down in Alabama, so she wants to buy it. You can buy it on Amazon. So if you're going to do something like that, you don't need as many workers to do it. When you take a look at the average store space per capita, the U.S. is by far and away the most stored country in the world. So we can probably lose some of that retail space. Obviously, that does mean jobs. But when you take a look at manufacturing versus the service economy, manufacturing is a much smaller piece of the overall puzzle right now than it has ever been. Services are about two-thirds to three-quarters of the economy, manufacturing making up the last quarter to one-third. So it's going to be an ongoing issue, I think, as people move more toward online purchasing.
Well, it's a 4th of July weekend, a good maybe opportunity to take stock in what America's all about. We've been talking a lot about capitalism this half hour. You've said before that the markets and the economy in this country has always been resilient through history.
It has been. I mean, we've gone through these periods, and we may be entering one of those periods where the markets take a step back. You know, we've now six quarters in a row that the markets have gone up, and that's in the face of a lot of news from Brexit to the various elections around the world. But the markets look through all of that, and they tend to look really more at how the economy is doing. And the economy and the markets generally rise three-quarters or two-thirds to 70% of the time. So to be betting against the market over the long run is really generally a mistake. In the short run, you can maybe do well, but it's a hard call. But one of the things that we've done with portfolios is move a little bit more toward the bond side, take some of those profits like everybody else has been doing, take a little bit of those profits off the table, and rebalance the portfolio back to where we have been, because we've gotten those nice gains so far in the first half of this year.
What do you got going for the 4th of July?
We're going to be like millions of others and heading for the road. So we'll be heading down to Tulsa for a family reunion down there for the week. So it'll be a fun time with all the in-laws.
Well, happy 4th of July. We'll see you again next Friday.
Thank you. We'll talk then.
All right. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can check him out online at kingsview.com.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, have you had the talk with your kids about social media safety? A recent study by the security firm LifeLock showed that while most parents are concerned with their child's online safety, only 1 in 10 take the time to talk about it with them every year. Tech expert Carly Knobloch says parents shouldn't be shy about laying down ground rules.
Regular checks on this stuff is really important so that you can have an opportunity. And it's not really about spying. It's just about, I like to call it like digital training wheels.
And be realistic. Talk to them about not having secret accounts. As much as you trust your child, they do like to find ways to have more privacy. Knobloch says, try to look at it this way.
Just like I wouldn't give my child a chef's knife and say, you know, good luck chopping that tomato. We'd be doing it with a lot of supervision and a lot of guidance until I really felt like they had the skills to, you know, master it on their own and to be okay on their own.
With Tech Trends, I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
You remember the TV show Northern Exposure? How about The People versus O.J. Simpson and the TV show Billions? And who knew this guy could sing? Actor Rob Morrow joins us at 11:35.
Pete McMurray in for Bill and Wendy this morning at 10 on 720 WGN.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ish Nala, nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi, this is Bob Prosser, owner of Ish Nala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I have been a part of Ish Nala for 30 years, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars, each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner on one of our outdoor decks? Our Ish Nala chefs have prepared your favorites, 24-ounce ribeye, cold water lobster tails, North Atlantic salmon, and of course, Ish Nala's roast duck. Thank you for making Ish Nala Wisconsin's favorite supper club, where the only thing we overlook is Mirror Lake. I'm Bob Prosser, and I want to serve you.
Hey, it's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale, and they're kicking off the summer with daily deals. Everything from free pillows to 50% off mattresses from brands you love. Visit a store now to find out today's daily deal. Shop early and don't miss their best financing offer. 0% APR for 6 years. Coming today, take advantage of interest-free financing. You can start sleeping happy for as little as $15 a month. Why wait any longer? Come in today. Start sleeping happy on your perfect mattress and take advantage of interest-free financing for 6 years. That's 72 whole months of sleeping interest-free. And just in time for summer, get a Serta iComfort Temp Touch. It's a memory foam mattress with revolutionary cooling technology designed to support every curve of your body at an unbeatable value of only $37 per month for 36 months. Nobody sells cool comfort for less, and only a Mattress Firm. 866-780-6220 for credit costs and terms subject to credit approval. It's Mattress Firm.
It's 531. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN. It's time for the news, sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Company. And here's Vic Vaughn.
A federal bill that would crack down on sanctuary cities, including Chicago, heads to the Senate today. It has the GOP's support, along with a handful of Democrats. It targets not only sanctuary cities, but also undocumented immigrants who have criminal backgrounds. The bill would cut federal money to all sanctuary cities. We complained about CTA on occasion, but New York's governor has just declared a state of emergency over New York City's public transit system. He's calling upon MTA's new boss to complete an urgent review of the agency's management and aging infrastructure. And lawmakers in Springfield have until midnight tonight to pass a balanced budget before the fiscal year ends. The House Speaker says he'll call for a vote on a Democratic spending plan this morning. They have a backup plan if it fails, calls for breaking their overall bill into smaller subsets. Today is day 10 of that 10-day special session. Governor Rauner says he'll force lawmakers to stay if they fail to reach a deal until they do agree. Yesterday, Senate Republican leader Christine Redonio resigned. All eyes on Springfield today. For now, the roadways with WGN Traffic and Mary Vandeveld.
Which are looking good at this point on this Friday morning, the start to a busy holiday weekend. No delays on the Edens or the Kennedy. Eisenhower about 26 in from 53, 14 from Mannheim. Stevenson is moving along fine along with the Ryan. Bishop Ford, some delays from about 103rd, same on 57. And no complaints on any of the tollways. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
This is Brian Wickard, owner of Low Overhead Acunet Mortgage. I've been hearing a ton of ads from the nation's largest online mortgage lender. You know, the guys with the rocket. The ads remind listeners they're not experts at mortgages, but that by using the lender's super slick website, the home buyer or homeowner will feel like an expert. Well, I'm calling BS on two counts. First, even the slickest mortgage website simply cannot provide the same expertise as Acunet's well-trained loan consultants. You know, you can get medical advice online too, but if you need something serious like heart surgery or, I don't know, to borrow $250,000, getting some input from a licensed, highly trained professional just seems like a better idea. The other problem is closing costs. For exactly the same rate, Acunet's upfront closing costs are typically $3,000 less than the Rocket guys. Get the best of all worlds at Acunet.com. Expert advice from a human and extreme savings. That's ACCUNET.com.
Acunet Mortgage is an equal housing lender and Illinois residential mortgage licensee. NMLS ID 2553683. 13,000 West Summer Spring Drive, Low Overhead, Butler, Wisconsin, 53007.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. Low on chips? Hot out of hot dogs? Short on summer fruit? Get firework hot deals for the 4th of July. Then get on with your day. Target run and done.
Homeowners, if the tire on your car goes flat, you fix it. If your heater breaks down, you fix it. Right now, if your home has low water pressure, or you get scalded in the shower when someone flushes, or you or your neighbors have already had leaks, in other words, your pipes aren't working, you can get them fixed, too, in as little as one day. I'm Jeff Butler, owner of Repipe Specialists. For a limited time, on approved credit, when you repipe with us, we'll give you 0% interest for an entire year. That's right, a repipe, wall patching, and a lifetime guarantee, all at 0% interest. Get great pressure, clean, clear water, be able to take a shower, and run the washing machine at the same time. We've helped over 30,000 homeowners just like you get new, high-quality pipes without a fuss. So repipe with us, and you too can enjoy great water pressure in your home with a lifetime guarantee.
Just call 800-216-0195. That's 800-216-0195. 800-216-0195.
Quick look at the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk numbers. Asian equities lost ground for the most part today. Modest gains in Shanghai. Australian equities lost nearly 2% in value. Losses of nearly 1% in Tokyo and Hong Kong. Small losses in Korea. Nearly flat trading there at closing. European trading is somewhat flat this morning. France now gaining ground up a half point. About the same in Italy and Spain. Germany headed into positive territory now. Oil futures are higher in pre-market trading at $45.32 a barrel. Gold futures lowered at $1,242.80 an ounce. Major index futures in the U.S. pointing to a higher opening on Wall Street. Dow futures up 50 points. S&P futures up nearly 6. NASDAQ futures up 22. Now WGN Sports and Dave Bennett.
And WGN Sports is sponsored by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Cubs manager Joe Maddon gave the credit to his freshmen and sophomores after the Cubs, without the injured Chris Bryant, rallied to beat the Washington Nationals, scoring 3 in the ninth to win 5-4 and gain a split of their four-game series. Bryant out with a sprained ankle, and he's not expected to play tonight either in Cincinnati. The Cubs 4-4 on their road trip. And the White Sox gained a split of their four-game series with the Yankees, winning 4-3 in a game delayed 3 hours by rain. It ended early this morning. The Sox played without Avi Garcia day-to-day with a sore left knee. Yankees outfielder Dustin Fowler underwent season-ending surgery for an open rupture of the patella tendon in his right knee. The injury suffered in the first inning of his Major League debut last night against the Sox. Both Kevin Durant and Gordon Hayward have reportedly opted out of their contracts with Golden State and Utah, respectively. Durant has said he'll stay with the Warriors. Hayward plans to test the free agent market. And Kentucky coach John Calipari has denied via social media that he's interested in the vacant presidency of the New York Knicks. Join Coach Fitz and the 2016 Pinstripe Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall. Season tickets are on sale now. To purchase, visit nusports.com. Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center: partly cloudy, warm and muggy today, highs in the mid-80s. A chance of afternoon thunderstorms remains, especially south of the city. Saturday, sunshine, 70s and low 80s. Sunday, partly sunny, mid-80s. Could see a few scattered thunderstorms Sunday evening, mainly in the city and in areas north of the city. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 66 at O'Hare, 68 degrees across most of the Chicago area this morning. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Vic Vaughn on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:39. Glad you're here for our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Summer is upon us, and this is the big weekend when a lot of us are going to be outdoors, either at fireworks displays or maybe even barbecues or both. Joe Conlon is a technical advisor at the American Mosquito Control Association, National Mosquito Control Awareness Week. Joe, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning. There you go. We got you. Thanks for being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Tell us about National Mosquito Control Awareness Week. Why do we have an awareness week for this?
Well, first of all, it's held every year during the week that includes the June 26th, because in June 26, 1935 is when the American Mosquito Control Association was founded. And we hold it just to make people, again, aware of the fact that mosquitoes are the most dangerous organism on the planet. We do have mosquito-borne diseases here, as you well know, and there are means that we can use to lower them, and the public's part of this process.
Deadly in the sense that last year we had the Zika virus, the year before that, here in the northern Illinois, we have West Nile virus. Both of those very, very serious.
Absolutely. People need to understand that, you know, the United States used to be quite rife with mosquito-borne diseases. And the only reason why we still don't have them to any great extent, comparatively speaking, with other countries, is because of mosquito control and our standard of living. And we need to keep both of those fully funded.
Let's talk a little bit about what it is, good fight is against mosquitoes. As I mentioned in the opening, lots of people are going to be out in their yards this weekend at 4th of July festivities, at parades, you name it. What is the number one thing people need to know to protect themselves?
Well, we like to put it in terms of the three D's: drain, dress, and defend. And by drain, I mean people need to understand that they need to get rid of any type of standing water that's around, because mosquitoes require standing water in order to breed and multiply. If they get rid of that, they're going to get rid of a good portion of the problem. Dress, they need to wear long sleeves and long pants to the extent possible, and make them baggy to the extent that they can, because mosquitoes can and will bite through tight-fitting clothing. And the third one, defend, is use an EPA-registered repellent and ensure that it's EPA-registered, and it will have a registration number on the can or the lotion bottle. Because if it's got an EPA registration number, that means the manufacturer has convinced the EPA, and the EPA is convinced that this will give at least 2 hours of protection, and it will pose no unreasonable risk. If you're not doing that, if you're getting something off the internet, there is a question as to whether it would be efficacious or not.
Yeah, and one of the things we hear often, especially here in Chicago, in the Chicago area, fighting West Nile virus, is that the product has to have DEET. What is DEET? Is that what you're talking about, this environmental, the chemical, the key chemical?
Yeah, DEET is one of them. DEET is the gold standard by which all other repellents are judged. It's been around for at least 50 years. There's been very few untoward outcomes because of DEET, and that's because people, you know, drank it to try and commit suicide. But DEET works against all mosquitoes in the United States if it's properly applied, and I would suggest that people utilize about a 30% formulation of DEET. However, it's a synthetic, and some people have issues with synthetics. The second one I would recommend is picaridin, P-I-C-A-R-I-D-I-N, picaridin. and it sold in about anywhere from a 15 to a 20% formulation. Try and get to 15% because it's effective against both ticks and mosquitoes. But it's every bit as effective as DEET, and it's an synthetic offshoot of pepper plants. So it's got kind of a natural pedigree, but it's still a synthetic. If people want to utilize something that is a natural formulation, use oil of lemon eucalyptus, about a 40% concentration of that. So any of those three would be fine to use.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Joe, we were having a conversation about this as we were preparing for the show yesterday, that there's a new wave of sort of, non-chemical mosquito repellents. And the question was how many of those that people are using because they don't want to use chemicals are actually going to work. And you say that the extract is the one that without that, nothing will work.
Well, we don't know whether they'll work because they haven't proven whether they will work. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence that says that, you know, they will work on people, but they're not required to prove through studies, through peer-reviewed studies to the EPA that they do indeed work. So we really don't know. And in these days of Zika virus and West Nile virus, I would suggest that you go with something that has been proven to work.
Yeah, organic was the word I was searching for there in my mind.
Uh-huh.
The other part of this, you talked about getting rid of water, standing water. We've just had a lot of rain here in the Chicago area. Some of it we can control, some of it we can't, right? I mean, if you have pots and flower pots and other things in your yard that are holding water, that's one thing. But what if you live near a stream or ditches or something like that?
Well, streams do not provide, except in the places where they're not actually running the water, don't provide good habitat for mosquitoes. Ditches, if they're clogged up, will provide habitat for mosquitoes to breed. And so you just need to keep them flowing, swiftly flowing to the extent that you can, and cut down the vegetation. Other than that, you have to rely upon the mosquito control folks, and you've got some excellent districts in the Chicago area, I might remind you, will be taking care of the problem. But to the extent that the public can help that process, it'll make for a much better outcome.
You know, one of the things that always gets a lot of discussion every year is when those mosquito abatement districts start spraying for mosquitoes. People always say, is that safe? Is it safe?
Well, you can never say anything is safe legally. Mm-hmm. But their EPA, they're utilizing chemicals that have been approved by the EPA for use, and they're utilizing them in accordance with the label specifications. And those label specifications are legal documents. They are required by law to follow those. And the EPA has determined that when followed, those sprays will produce minimal risk to human beings. And you got to remember that, you know, we're spraying to forego some diseases that are quite devastating. And when people start worrying about, you know, how is these mosquitocides going to affect their kids and things like that, they got to remember that these regulators and the people that are spraying, their families are there too. And they wouldn't do it if it was going to harm their families. So they got to keep that in mind.
What are some of the interesting facts about mosquitoes, Joe? What is it about mosquitoes? I mean, we all smack them when they land on us, but what do we don't know about mosquitoes that perhaps are fun facts?
Well, we don't know. Well, the general public doesn't know how big mosquitoes are, how small mosquitoes are. Our largest mosquito is found in the Chicago area, by the way, Saurophora ciliata. It's also called the gallon nipper, and it's about an inch in length.
Wow.
But what's interesting about it is that its larvae are actually cannibalistic, and they will eat other mosquito larvae. So in a way, they're good for you. There are also other mosquito species that are about the same size called Toxorhynchites, which is a breeds in tree holes, and its larvae also eats other mosquitoes. They kind of play, you know, king of the tree hole. And but this is the only species of mosquito. That mosquito is the only one that doesn't bite humans. And I mean, excuse me, does not take a blood meal, period. for larvae, so it doesn't feed. Interestingly enough, in the movie Jurassic Park, the first mosquito that they show in this big block of amber that they're drilling into to get the blood out of is that species of mosquito, the only one that doesn't drink blood. So they missed the scientific boat on that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Minnesota doesn't have the biggest mosquitoes. I remember when I was there for a short time, the mosquitoes in Minnesota seemed really big.
Well, they do have large species there, but the Serophora species are found throughout the United States, so you can find these big mosquitoes anywhere. But Minnesota is particularly bad for that. Now, Minnesota does not have the most species of mosquito. The most species of mosquito are found in Texas. They've got 85 species of mosquitoes there. The state with the least number of species of mosquitoes is West Virginia with 25.
I remember when I was a kid, my mom always used to tell me that mosquitoes, they are most active in the evening. Is that accurate? Is that still the case?
For many species, yes. But for other species, no. If you get out to the, like in Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, the mosquito species that breed in the salt marshes here are active throughout the day. Once you get into their territory, you're on the menu. The same thing goes with the Aedes aegypti, the yellow fever mosquito that transmits Zika virus. It's active during the day and the night also. So although you can say that most mosquito species are active, before dawn and after dusk, you have to be prepared throughout the day for these mosquito species because they're not going to not feed on you just because it's bright outside.
Yeah. Is it true that they're more active, too, when there's a full moon out?
The species that's an interesting observation, the Aedes aegypti, which is, the mosquito that transmits Zika virus and yellow fever, tends to be more active when that is out because the light allows it to identify potential targets.
Yeah. Well, Joe, thanks for the information. We'll make sure we put on extra repellent this weekend to keep us safe, and thank you for your work in educating us.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right, Joe Conlon is with the American Mosquito Control Association. This is National Mosquito Control Awareness Week.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are up 46. NASDAQ futures up 25. S&P futures up 6. Oil at $45.34 a barrel. Gold and silver are trading a little bit lower. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. And Orion Samuelson is with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning, Steve. We got the quarterly pig crop report yesterday. So at dinner tonight, if you want to bring it up, you can impress people by giving them the exact number of hogs still on farms in the United States. 71,700,000 head. Now, the interesting thing about it is up 3% from June a year ago, and it's the highest June 1st inventory of all hogs and pigs on farms since they started making those estimates back in 1964. And the breeding inventory at 6,070,000 head was up 2% from last year, and the market hog inventory at 65.6 million head was up 4% from last year. And this, too, was the highest June 1st market hog inventory since estimates began in 1964. Now, what does that say to consumers? Well, it says we have plenty of pork to go around, so you can grill all the pork chops you want to on this 4th of July weekend, and you won't run out. And then, Steve, if I can answer an email that came from a listener in Chicago wondering where we stand in the various commodities that we produce here in the United States. And what is the number one cash commodity? Corn. Corn followed by soybeans, followed by wheat, and then sorghum, and then barley and oats. But the corn figure is far and away the moneymaker as far as the crops are concerned. Going into the 4th of July weekend, it's an unusual market schedule for next week because of Tuesday being 4th of July. but the rules say the markets can't be closed for consecutive days. So that means there will be trade on Monday. It'll end during the noon hour in the commodity world. And then they'll be closed, of course, on Tuesday the 4th and reopen for regular scheduled on Wednesday. So, Steve, you'll have to change your trading schedule to meet that requirement. Oh, and the other thing, we'll not get the weekly crop conditions report until Wednesday of next week.
We've already adjusted our schedules here. Orion, what are you going to be grilling this weekend?
Grilling this weekend, probably some fillets. We every year we tend to buy some of the meat cuts from the champions at the Illinois State Fair, and I think we've got a couple of those still left, and so that's probably what we'll be doing.
So these are the champions. You actually got to pet them during the fair last year, right?
Yes, got to pet them and talk about them and sell them at auction. And then when the animals are processed, they package the various cuts of meat into packages that consumers can handle. And Gloria and I always buy one of those packages because it helps scholarship programs at the University of Illinois. And, of course, the money that is put together to buy the live animal, that gets divided among several of the exhibitors at the state fair. So more than one person will benefit from a grand champion.
That's wonderful. Circle of life stuff. Orion, have a great 4th of July weekend, okay?
You do the same.
All right. Thank you. Orion Samuelson with us this morning. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, June 30th. The Commerce Department will issue its May report on consumer spending, which counts for about 70% of the U.S. economy. Last month, Commerce reported that Americans increased their spending in April at the fastest pace in 4 months, bolstered by solid gain in incomes. The University of Michigan Consumer Confidence Survey is out today. China releases its official manufacturing PMI on Capitol Hill today. The resignation of Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz is effective. He announced last month he was stepping down. He was on one of the key committees there, one of the oversight committees, the oversight committee. And it is day two of meetings between President Trump and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. And that is what's happening today on the markets, June 30th, 2017.